Well, good morning, everybody. It is May 24th. It's a Tuesday already this week, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs, and welcome to today's show, which is devoted to social-emotional learning. As you know, we're very concerned about that. We have a website called seltoday.org, which acts as a resource center for educators. If you want to go over there, check it out, seltoday.org. All right, and we work with a company over there called Navigate 360, a company I think is just absolutely fascinating. And we have Melissa Reagan from there. I hope I pronounced that right, Melissa. Give me the correct spelling. Maybe it's Reagan. It might be Reagan, okay, of your last name. Melissa is the chief learning officer over there. We also are treated to have their advisory board member, Dr. Tamara Gibson Alonzo, here as well. And we're going to talk about the impact of SEL, okay, on today's educational system, concerning specifically challenging student behaviors and behavioral intervention, and how to deal with the rise in these categories, and how that affects education as a whole, as well as, if I may, teacher retention, okay, which is another big concern of ours. Because if the kids are hard to control, it drives people, can tend to drive people out of education. Another retention challenge in an age of retention challenges. So it's going to be a very interesting conversation with Melissa, who will tell me how to pronounce her last name when they bring her on, and also Dr. Gibson Alonzo. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website for our Consortium for Equity. Please go over there and check out everything we do. Our magazine is over there, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's an online journal, which you'll really enjoy. Just click through over on the cover. You'll see it right over there. We have our teacher retention site. You can link to all these over there, the teacher retention site, the SEL Today site, and our Excellence in Equity Awards. Please go over there. Nominate yourself, your colleagues, companies you work with. If you're a company, nominate your products, or you can nominate the products if you're an educator. It's all over at just link over. It's at ace-ed.org. Click through on awards. We need nominations in there. We have 27 categories, and we need nominations by June 30th. A long way to go. We're doing great, but we want you to participate in that. Okay, without further ado, let me bring on my two wonderful guests, and we'll start with our very special guest, Dr. Tamara Gibson Alonzo. How are you, oh very special guest?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Where are you today, Tamara? Where are you located?
I am located in Northeast Florida, the Sunshine State.
Northeast,
and I love
your accent,
I must say.
Is that Jacksonville?
The Jacksonville area, but I will say I hail the Queensboro. That's where I was born, so I love your accent.
Thank you, but you just insulted me because I'm from Philly. Okay, so thank you very much. I'm a Philly guy. You're New York, right? You're in New York, right?
You're a true northerner. I'm in Northeast Florida. I'm in the Jacksonville,
yeah,
Florida area, but I was born in New York.
Yeah, God bless New York. I love it over there. It's great stuff. Okay. And so let me ask you, Melissa, how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Reagan?
Yeah, you had it right. It's Reagan.
Yeah, R-A-G-A-N. It's missing the E, so I wasn't sure. Melissa Reagan, everybody, the chief learning officer over at Navigate 360. And I think, are you in the Boston area, Melissa?
I'm from Boston originally. We live in Maine right now, and at the moment I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Close. So, Tamara, where do you live in Maine, if I may ask?
Oh, no, I'm in Maine. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Melissa, are you in Tampa right now?
I'm in Tampa for work, but I'm from Maine. I'm just up near the Farmington area.
Okay, because I live in Cornish. I'm talking to you from Cornish, Maine.
No way!
I am. We're Mainers.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll never be true Mainers because, you know, we weren't born here, but...
Yeah. Hey, of course, we're from away, which is the old joke. And of course, it begs the question, now that the weather's good in Maine, what the hell are you doing in Florida? Okay, what's doing in Florida?
I'm here for an ed tech conference.
Excellent. That's fantastic. Okay. And enjoy yourself, Melissa. It's fun to talk to a fellow Mainer and a fellow former Northeasterner. Okay, Tamara, it's great to have
you here,
right. Tamara. Okay.
That's right.
And I'm going to ask Melissa, tell everybody about Navigate 360. But before we get into that, I just have to read your resume a little bit, okay, which is really great. You are really a SEL expert. Okay, you develop social-emotional learning programs for professional development for the United Nations. Is this correct?
It's true. UNESCO, which is a division of the United Nations, is really devoted to ensuring the social-emotional learning reaches kids all over the world, and they view it as a really integral part of academics. So
it is.
It was a real pleasure to work with them.
Yeah, that's one that I just really cool. And also, again, give me a minute here, Tamara. You're co-author of the forthcoming book, The Social Emotional Classroom. That's Melissa Reagan. When will that be out?
That will be out in July. Really exciting to work on that. We started working on that just before the pandemic happened. And then when the pandemic broke out, we realized that work was more important than ever.
Okay, my fellow Mainer, when the book comes out, I want to schedule a podcast with you and talk about the book. My fellow
I
Mainer,
would love
can
that.
We do that? Okay, so when will it be out in July, do you know?
I think it's the end of July. I'll get back to you with that exact date.
Okay, we'll get you in right at the beginning of August, and we'll go for it, okay? But just so you know.
Oh, exciting.
Super.
Thank you.
Tamara, you're welcome. Are you my fellow Mainer from Farmington? Wow, it's incredible. Okay. All right. Tamara, you're an advisory board member for Navigate 360. Okay.
I am. Well,
and you're Dr. Gibson Alonzo. Okay. Tell us about yourself. When you're not an advisory board member, what are you doing? Everybody wants
Absolutely.
To know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When I'm not working as an advisory board member, I serve as a health educator. That's my title. I've
cool.
been a health educator. Right now I'm a health educator at the University of North Florida. I teach mental health education and promotion, as well as other public health related courses. So I've been working in health education and advising in health education as an advocate throughout the state and nationally for couple decades now, all the way from grade school to higher ed.
Wow, that's really cool. Thank you. I think you're my first pure health educator. This is great. Thank you. You've got to do more. This is really neat. Okay, and this is really all important. Now I want to get back to Melissa. Melissa, your chief learning officer for Navigate 360. Just quickly tell us about Navigate 360. Feel free to brag. Go.
Thank you. Well, one of the things I love about what we do is we provide a holistic solution for student and teacher safety. So we're talking about physical safety, mental health safety, wellness, just really trying to make sure that our kids and our teachers and our schools have everything they need to be safe and healthy and well.
Yeah, and you guys do a good job, and it's Navigate360.com. Okay, now that we got all that done, okay, we got real challenges out there, and the school year is coming to an end now, but this has been and it's ended in the South by now, I think, but it's been a tough year, okay? As we come out of the pandemic, kids' mental health challenges are on the rise. That's for a lot of different reasons, the pandemic being one of them, and just society in general is tough these days, okay? It's hard, and it's hard on the teachers, too. All right. And yet, with all that, there are people who are questioning, okay, about making sure that social emotional learning is part of K-12 education. But if we don't do that, if I have to just speak here for a second, if we don't do that, all right, we're going to miss the boat on really helping these kids as they have to get through this. And B, we have to build it in to what we're doing, including into teacher education. Okay, so that they are more well-equipped to teach it, okay? So with all that said, we got a lot of challenges here, okay? Talk about social, emotional learning and behavioral intervention and how it helps schools and educators with the challenging student behavior these days. Okay, how does it help them tackle all this challenge? And I'll throw it to Melissa. And Melissa, if you want to give it to Tamara, you be my guest. Go ahead. Melissa, go.
Thank you. Well,
oh, and by the way, if you could actually answer that question in the time we have left, which is plenty of time, I will give you a PhD from the University of Larry, and I will give Tamara a second one. So, go ahead.
Hello, Melissa.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, as you
Dr.
know,
Dr.
Larry,
Reagan, if I may. Dr. Reagan, please continue. Okay.
Good teachers have been doing social-emotional learning for years and years and years. You know, it's been around since the late 80s. And what's been really challenging is, you know, kids have been home for the past 2 years. There's been a pandemic. There's behavior issues. But even before the pandemic, we knew that there were rising mental health issues. The Surgeon General just recently issued the health crisis alert. And what we really need to do is, you know, when you look around and you see school districts that want to ban social emotional learning or prohibit teachers from teaching it, that seems really counterintuitive to me. It's the time when kids need this the most.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. Tamara, what do you got to add on that one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now is the time. It's been the time. People in different locations may call social and emotional learning different things, but truthfully, it's SEL is embedded within mental health education. And, you know, May being Mental Health Awareness Month, we want to definitely thank you for bringing this conversation to light now. But it's definitely not something that we need to only shed light on during May.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned previously, if we don't continue the conversation, the good research and the instruction and education, we will miss the boat and we will lose lives and quality of life. And yep, the goal of SEL and mental health education is not really to look at social emotional learning or mental health education in isolation, but to really embrace what we call the WISC model, or the whole school, whole community, whole child model, and really embrace mental health education in light of holistic health and wellness for both students and adults.
I couldn't agree more. You are dead on right with all that. And it's the challenge, okay, SEL, and again, we work with CASEL. Everybody knows these people. Nobody in education is against SEL, okay? But we have to incorporate it. You said this a minute ago, Tamara. We cannot – it's not a separate thing, okay?
That's
right. It's all part and parcel of what we do. All right? And school safety is a top concern, okay? Student safety and teacher safety is a top concern. And there's a lot of student suicide. It's a mess out there right now, all right? So I'm going to throw this over to the Chief Learning Officer at Navigate 360, okay? Melissa, okay, how do we integrate and prioritize SEL within a master schedule when, again, we're supposed to be teaching, quote, academics? My argument is you can't teach one without the other. Maybe that's your argument, too, but you go ahead.
Well, you just opened up a big can of worms, Larry. The key word is prioritizing.
Yeah.
We know SEL.
It is.
We know the research shows it works. And when you talk about academics, you really cannot teach students math and science if they can't sit down in their seats, or if they can't respect and resolve conflicts and talk about emotions. So, you know, we need to deal with the emotions first. And so best practices is, you know, you need to do an explicit SEL lesson once a week for about 20 minutes. And some schools that is during advisory or like homeroom or health or during gym. But even more importantly, what we really have to do is integrate SEL school-wide. There has to be a common language among teachers. So that when I'm in math class and my teacher tells me to, you know, use a strategy to self-regulate, it's the same one that the science teacher is using, that the lunch aides are using, that the recess aides are using. That's how you build a culture, and that's how you really get the greatest success with SEL programs.
So, all right, Melissa, put let's put Navigate 360 into that. How can somebody use a teacher, use a school, use Navigate 360 to do what you just said? Go for
so
it.
We have schools that use it in a variety of different ways. Like I'm thinking of a client we have in Georgia right now, and they use SEO, our SEO lessons, once a week during their Pride time. And during that time, the whole school is teaching the exact same lesson. And then they're following that up with a group discussion. Now, in addition to that, we have self-regulation strategies like the SHIELD strategy. It teaches kids to calm down. So the kids have had this lesson on, say, the SHIELD strategy, and then there's a conflict in the cafeteria. Well, now the lunch aide can remind the students to use a SHIELD strategy to calm down. And these are all just ways, and this is one example, but having students be able to feel free to talk about their emotions and emotion coaching. Like, hey, Larry, you sound a little frustrated. What's going on? You know, instead of just sticking to those key emotions, like you're mad, you're angry, you're sad. Like, let's tease it out of kids. Let's see what's really going on so we can find the root cause and fix it.
Yeah. Tamara, what are your thoughts on this? Root causes
and
that sort of thing.
I would just add one point to what Melissa stated regarding offering support for the students, yes, but also realizing that Navigate offers support for the adults, for the teachers.
Good point.
I believe that.
Good point.
Yes. I believe the most recent statistic from NAMI, the National Association of Mental Illness, I think it's something like 1 in 5 of adults experience mental illness. So being able to open the conversation, I believe it's 1 in 5 adults, if I'm not mistaken, and also 1 in 6 U.S. adolescents, 12 to 17, as of 2020, experience a mental health illness or episode. So recognizing these statistics and the research and being able to offer support and programs for the young people, but also continuing the conversation and beginning the conversation for the adults who are in need of intervention is all part of the package that will move the needle for that whole school, whole community, whole child changes that we want to see for healthy schools and healthy communities.
I agree with you. And let me ask you this, Tamara. You're down in Florida, okay? And Governor DeSantis, okay, I don't mean to get political, so let me finish the whole statement here. Okay, Governor DeSantis, okay, Ron, good old Ron, okay, kind of bringing up SEL, okay, like he's against it. And I know that's a political stance he's taking. Okay, he's not really against – he doesn't really want kids to fall apart in school. Okay, he doesn't. Okay, I'm going to give him that. Okay, but it's a political thing. All right? Well, in light of that, okay, and because this is a challenge all over. Okay, people are jumping on it. Look on it down – just do it from Florida's point of view. What are you seeing down in Florida amongst your peers, your pals, and how are you handling this situation? Okay, I'll just leave it at that. And again, not to get overly political, I don't mean to, but it's a big thing out there right now, and we got to do something about this.
It certainly is. And I have to say that Florida, and I'm not going to speak for the entire state of Florida, but from what I've seen and what I know, Florida is not shying away from teaching mental health education. The Florida Department of Education passed a State Board of Education rule in 2019 that supports mental health education, and it is required instruction that's been required for decades. However, in 2019, under the leadership of Governor DeSantis, this rule, which is 6A-1.09 but that rule passed by the state board actually supports mental health education, and with mental health education comes that holistic approach, which includes components of social and emotional learning. So I'd have to say that from my perspective, and I don't speak for the entire state of Florida, but from my perspective, I actually applaud the work that Florida is doing. You asked specifically about Florida to support whole child education and healthy schools. There's that rule in place that even though it's been in statute to teach health education for decades, the reporting aspect was put in place under Governor DeSantis as of 2019, and happens twice a year and is mandatory. So programs such as Navigate 360 and many others, which are available for any stakeholder to view what each school district is doing, this information now is in the sunshine. It's available for anybody, parents, community members, those in favor and those against, to be able to review and see the specific health education and that's happening, which includes mental health education. And the site for that is flrequiredinstruction.org, FL for Florida. So all the implementation plans, all the annual reports are on that webpage. So it's in the sunshine now. Health education in Florida is gaining more attention, as it should.
That was like the best answer to that question I could have ever expected. Thank you. That was a great answer. Okay? Thank you.
And it's from the heart, and it's true.
you did great. And I need to really explain it well. And that shows, if I may, the difference between politics and government. Okay? It's just amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And by the way, considering you're in the Sunshine State, I love the way you used sunshine. A lot, okay? That was really good, okay?
Absolutely.
And, all right, now, Melissa, you are at an EdTech conference, which means what conference are you at? Where are you?
It was a conference for superintendents and assistant superintendents. It was not SEL-focused specifically.
That's okay, but you're a school safety SEL company, okay? As you talk to the people that were down there, okay, the superintendents, were they all Florida superintendents or were they from all over the country?
It was not. It was people from all over the place.
Oh, cool. Okay. So as you talk to them, what was their reaction about SEL and mental health, how it relates to school safety, et cetera?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. There's one point of view, which is teachers, really, you can't teach your classroom without using SEL. You might as well hire robots to do it then, because it's just, you can't do your job.
I agree. I agree with that.
So,
can't do it.
You can't. And I think what Dr. Gibson Alonso was saying earlier is that people use different words to describe it, right? Like some people call it social skills or emotional intelligence.
Life skills.
I think there are ways. To get the learning out there and to educate the students and the teachers without necessarily putting the SEL brand on it.
I think that also is a great answer, okay? And the point is, we got to do the right thing for the kids, and there isn't a school district, and I might add a politician, who doesn't believe that, okay? That's just the phrasing and the way we do it and how we do it, okay? That makes sense, and I think those are both great answers, and that's a very interesting answer, too, I might add. And, you know, on that note, okay, we not only have to get, because this has become a political question to a certain extent, we not only have to get the superintendents and the teachers on board, we have to get the community on board. And the community, again, is affected by political terminology. And some people hear SEL, they go nuts, and they say it a different way. They don't get that. What's your... As we fight that battle, and Melissa, I'll ask you this one, okay? How do we get how do you get the communities to understand what's going on, the parents, the family, et cetera, okay? How do you get that for us?
I think that, look, I'm a parent, I have four kids, and I want to know what my kids are doing in school, like all parents do, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the most important thing to do is to be transparent. Show the parents what you're doing with your kids, their kids in class. No parent who sees a lesson on kindness or compassion or empathy is going to say, no, I don't want my kid learning that. So it's about being, if you don't know what something is and someone says, oh, my kid's doing social emotional learning, or your kid comes home and says, I took some tests and they're asking me questions about how I feel, I can see how that would be alarming. But as educators, we really have a duty to kind of explain to parents and families what SEL is, explain how it helps, and the benefits.
Exactly. That partnership to, you said it perfectly, Melissa, to be transparent and to involve parents in partnership in the light of what we're doing so that they don't feel like, oh, well, I don't know what my child is learning or I don't know what the school is doing. And in here in Florida, that that accountability has been increased over the past couple of years, especially when it comes to mental health education.
You know, and what, Melissa, I got to agree, what you said is really important. Kids come home and a parent asks the kid what they learned. Oh, I learned how to improve my feelings, Mom. That sounds a little whacked out, okay? And I don't blame some parents, okay, for what the heck, okay? What you know, I'm a parent too, okay? What? What are you, kid? And it's all about the positioning of this. Okay, and just constantly saying to people, this is what we are doing, and here's the reason we are doing it, and here's how we're doing it.
That's
and that
right.
makes all the difference in the world. And it's just, you know, it's so obvious when you say that. And it does. It puts parents in a weird position. It puts teachers in a weird position. And speaking of that, it does put teachers in a weird position because we want them to teach ESL. But for some reason, and I never, and Tamara, you can talk about this more so, I think, we have never incorporated that really into teacher education programs. Okay? It's always an add-on at the end. And maybe there are these days, but incorporating SEL into social studies education, math education, whatever the case may be, okay, this is important. And My not just for elementary school teachers. I'm talking about subject teachers in the secondary classes as well. All right. And what are your thoughts on that? Are we doing enough in teacher education regarding SEL? We put the teachers in a bad spot because we're not giving them the information. Yeah. What do you think of that?
There is room for improvement. Yeah, that's a good point. So teacher education programs, I think, increasingly, just given the times that we're in and the way that everyone, for the most part, who, you know, is awake, knows that we are going through situations in our country, internationally, that require attention to some really challenging situations as a response. Oh, my goodness, some that we just haven't
seen before. Thank you for the understatement of the year. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Some seriously challenging situations. So, yes, you're exactly right. We have to intentionally teach adults how to how to teach. And with that comes how to teach mental health or health education. That has to be explicitly taught because and it's not like it should be taught in isolation, something only in health class.
Thank you.
It's an integration across subject areas. And if we put what you had mentioned at the start of your show first, and you emphasized the safety and changes and you know, making positive behavior and so on. If we emphasize that we want our schools and our students healthy and safe and authentically supported and engaged, then that type of language for sure, keeping schools safe, keeping students engaged, keeping them well, you know, that is integrated, keeping them positively involved throughout different subjects. We just have to make sure that everyone has as much support and tools and resources as possible to do that properly. And it will take continued conversation. It's not like we're going to arrive and be like, okay, great, everybody's got it. It will just take a continuation of what we're doing now, providing intentional opportunities to understand and learn and to expand upon quality health education and student development, keeping students at the center of it. Never forgetting that students are at the core of what we do and their best interests should remain our central focus no matter what. And we can't look at students in fragments. They're a whole, just like how we're whole people, they're whole younger people. So keeping that in mind.
Hey, Melissa, keep Tamara on the board. She's pretty cool. She's a smart lady. Yeah,
we love
her.
We're so lucky to have her.
Yeah, don't let her go. Keep her there. Keep her tethered there. She's really great.
Okay. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget, I just want to say something. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I am. Isn't Navigate 360 the official SEL program for Maine education? Am I correct?
How do
you phrase that?
Wow,
yeah.
Good for you.
Take a hit on the home state here. Go ahead, talk to me. Just talk about that for a second. I forgot about that. I wanted to bring it up. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, we actually have several statewide engagements, Michigan, Vermont, Maine, for example, and we offer resources that are provided. They're provided by the state to all students in Maine who want to have access to SEL curriculum.
Good.
And we also offer training for teachers, which, you know, to sort of build upon what you were talking about earlier, when I was learning to become, we didn't learn how to teach SEL.
Exactly.
There were things that you were
ridiculous.
Taught how to do, but you weren't taught. And I think taking the time to engage teachers in that conversation and have those conversations doesn't just help your students, but it helps them too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you guys are running the whole thing in Maine, and I hope that goes to a lot of other states as well, Vermont, Michigan, and everywhere else you can think of. Okay, this stuff is very important. Okay, and we have missed the boat on working with teachers on this to a great extent. Okay, it has to be incorporated in there. Okay, and if I may, I want to say this at the beginning too. We know that about 50% of educators are thinking of leaving the profession. Okay, thinking about it, that doesn't mean they're going to, but even a percentage of that, a small percentage will hurt the profession because there aren't enough people going into education these days. So it hurts. We can't afford to lose anybody. And I just want to make the point that if we don't take care of the SEL problems for both, whatever you want to call it, for both teachers, the mental health problem, I'll say whatever you want to say it, in terms of what's going on in schools with the kids, et cetera, that's not going to help that situation. Tamara said it best. This is a holistic situation. It's not 10 minutes a week.
That's exactly right. You said it. And communities in Florida, especially, you know, we talk about that the schools really represent the community. So
they do.
You can't detach the two. So we can't underestimate how important it is to maintain and create those partnerships between schools and communities, because they really are just, you know, one and the same. And what happens within the schools is going to affect communities and the state. So you're exactly right. We have to recognize that and nurture that partnership, those partnerships.
We sure mm-hmm. as heck do. So it's Navigate360.com, everybody. And Melissa, okay, wrote a book that's coming out in July, late July, called The Social-Emotional Classroom. We'll have her back on for that. Okay, Tamara's up taking care of kids at the University of North Florida. Right, Tamara?
I'm at UNF. That's where I teach. Exactly.
What's the name of the team at UNF? This is a school I don't know. What is the team? Talk to me.
So I specifically work in the Brooks College of Health. So it's the University of North Florida, and I teach mental health education and public health courses in the Brooks College of Public Health.
And what is the name of the team mascot at the University of – are they the Alligators?
That's a key word, the mascot. We're the Ospreys.
Yeah.
We soar high. We're the Ospreys.
Wow.
Ospreys,
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm going to find out more about this, the UNF Ospreys. Okay, this is really cool. All right. When are you coming home again to Maine, Melissa?
I will be home on Friday.
All right. Well, you have a good time down there. Enjoy the pool. I'll let you know it's about maybe in the 60s here with bright sun today. Okay, getting up in the 70s, probably. It's beautiful today. Perfect. Okay, perfect.
I love it.
So enjoy Florida is all I can tell you. All right, it's almost winter again. All right, just kidding. It's not real. Okay, all right. Thank you, ladies. You two are wonderful. I really appreciate this. This was great. Thank you both.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well,
thanks.
Come back anytime. Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Until. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody, that's Melissa Reagan, a fellow Mainer, who's the chief learning officer for Navigate 360. Learn about them at our site, which is seltoday.org. You can go directly to them at navigate360.com. And Tamara Gibson Alonzo, Dr. Gibson Alonzo, teaches at the University of North Florida, and she's a advisory board member for Navigate 360. Check out everything we do at ace-ed.org, our journal, our equity awards, teacher retention work, and SEO work, okay? It's important stuff. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs, Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.